This is David Marsh in London. A historic day because we've had a very large increase in government borrowing announced in the Chancellor's budget by Rishi Sunak. I'm on the line here with Lord Norman Lamont, who was the Chancellor of the Exchequer in 1992, when some people say that was the last time such a large increase in borrowing was decided in one budget. So welcome, Norman. Thank you very much for being on the line with me today. Do you think that this will actually get Britain out of trouble when it comes to the immediate problem of the coronavirus?
Well, I thought the measures on the coronavirus were very well targeted. I mean, first of all, there was obviously an almost unconditional proposal of support for the NHS, whatever it takes. And there were lots of measures for firms to employ people. But one of the things that has been most worrying people is, what about those who are self-employed, agency workers, gig workers? And I thought that there were it's a very difficult area to pinpoint, but I thought the measures were really very good. You know, first of all, we'd had what had already been announced, that sickness pay would be paid right away and not waiting for 4 days. Measures to ensure you didn't need to go to a doctor, but you could get it by self-certification validated by phoning a number. And then various proposals to make it easier to get benefit, relaxing the rules on things like universal credit. And then there was a hardship fund to be given to local authorities, which they could distribute to individuals. Now, I'm not saying this has covered everybody or will be an infallible safety net, but I thought it really was getting at what I think has been worrying a lot of people, which is, you know, supposing self-employed people or gig economy people or people working in the NHS through agencies get sick or feel they have to isolate themselves, you know, they're going to suffer great hardship, or they're going to take a risk and carry on working and infecting people. So that, I thought, was very well targeted.
There seem to be some humanitarian aspects here, but of course it's a very political budget, and there must be at least three political undertones, one of which is the end of the age of austerity, which Prime Minister Boris Johnson has wanted to do anyway. Second is this very strong message that you outlined, Lord Lamont, the funding for the National Health Service, which the Conservative Party says it wants to uphold. And then, of course, a very big increase in spending on investment and infrastructure. The proportion of investment in the British economy will go up now. Do you think, though, that the Chancellor and the Prime Minister can bring this off? It's a mighty challenge also to do all this and to stop interest rates from rising, or indeed to stop even an upsurge in inflation. Can the Tories actually balance all the different aspects that they're trying to produce here?
Well, of course, inflation is something that sometimes comes from nowhere. But as far as the markets, particularly the bond markets, are concerned, I think one of the changes that has occurred gradually over the last few years is that bond markets have got much less spooked by total borrowing figures, simply because yields have fallen. Every time we think they can't fall any further, they've gone into negative territory, and a large proportion of risk-free government bonds worldwide are now negative. So you can borrow on 30-year loans, 50-year loans at rates which take account of inflation are actually negative. Lenders are actually paying borrowers for the privilege of lending to them. So I think bond markets have got used to this. The risk and the question is, will this last forever? And the Chancellor touched on that in his budget speech when he referred to the debate that is going on about the framework of fiscal policy. And he undertook that I think it's been known that he's been doing this anyway, undertook a review of fiscal policy and said he would report back in the autumn. The interesting point in the budget was that he claimed, and I think this, I shall look forward to reading some of the analysis when we've had more time to look into it more deeply. He claimed that the budget was consistent with the fiscal rules. Although I think when one reads the caveats in the speech, what he meant was consistent with the fiscal rules before he introduced the emergency coronavirus measures. So, you know, I think that's a pretty big qualification. But the figures that he quoted and the figures in the Red Book show the current balance is actually being in surplus, but the overall deficit, it does show, and the Chancellor just referred to figures as a percentage of GDP, but it does show the deficit, the overall deficit reaching, when you look at the Red Book, does show the overall deficit reaching a figure of over £60 billion per annum. Now, that is a big addition to debt, but as we know, borrowing costs are very, very low. And that is why he was able to claim, people will look at this very carefully, that at the end of the parliament, borrowing as a proportion of GDP would be lower than it is today. That was the claim he made. I think people will want to see whether that takes full account of the package that he's announced today.
Indeed, and I did see that the rate of borrowing as a proportion of GDP is something like 2.4%. It's nothing like it was immediately after the financial crisis more than a decade ago, but it's clearly above what had been expected. As you say, the bond markets have taken that in their stride today. What about internationally? Do you think that this shows the advantage of a country like Britain, which can do monetary and fiscal policy in a joined-up way? We had the 0.5 percentage point cut in the Bank of England rates earlier today, unlike countries who are in economic and monetary union, for example, where everything has to be analysed with each other's peers. Britain can act unilaterally here and do things with a good deal of coordination, it seems, between the Bank of England and the Treasury. Is this going to be overall a good thing for Britain economically in the next 5 to 6 years?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, clearly there was coordination between the Bank of England and the Treasury on the announcement about the rate cut on the day of the budget. But, you know, that's not surprising. And the fact that you have an independent Bank of England doesn't mean it doesn't talk to the government, doesn't mean that they always disagree. You know, the point of independence is to resist improper political pressure. But exchange of views is something that you would expect. And an exchange of views can reach to agreement. I do think Britain, you know, has an advantage in being able over, obviously, a country like Italy, in being able to set its own fiscal policy and its own interest rates.
What about internationally? We're still seeing that Germany, for one, is hesitating about the extent of fiscal stimulus. We're probably going to see a bit of shock and awe tomorrow from the European Central Bank, but we all know they can't do everything by themselves. Do you think Britain, still trading a great deal with Europe now, relies still on the Europeans to do the right thing when it gets to their getting their measures right, when they eventually decide a coordinated fiscal and monetary response?
Well, coordination of fiscal policy will be very difficult within the Eurozone because, of course, there isn't agreement between the individual countries about fiscal policy. And there could be disagreements between a country like Italy and the ECB, or a country like Italy and other countries. I mean, I'm sure the Italian position is obviously very different from the German. I mean, all this just underlines the point you're making, that the Eurozone is not well positioned to coordinate monetary and fiscal policy.
What about the wider political implications here? The government is taking the wind out of the opposition sails. We remember just in December, the general election, the Labour opposition then, still the opposition, wanted a big increase in government borrowing. They were cried down by shouts that this would actually be improper and might even be risky. The government is now taking, in a way, some of the bits of the programme of the then and still opposition, the Labour Party, by extensively increasing government borrowing. Do you think this, as a political budget, that this will prove to be a success?
Well, I think it may or may not be a political success, but I don't think they're stealing the Whigs' clothes, as Disraeli once put it. I don't think they're stealing the clothes of the Labour Party. You know, it was made perfectly clear in the election that the government wanted to increase capital spending and planned to have a big increase in infrastructure, which has been manifest in this budget. But the Labour figures were even on a greater scale. And the Conservatives were saying we plan to increase expenditure, but in a responsible way within our fiscal rules. Whether this budget is within the fiscal rules or not is a question. I think we will see a lot of examination of that in the next few days. The Chancellor claimed that it was, but as I've already said, that seemed to be on the assumption we didn't take account of that was the arithmetic pre the virus.
Last question to you, Norman. I mentioned at the beginning that you were Chancellor of the Exchequer back in 1992. We now have a new Chancellor, Rishi Sunak, who's just started out now. Do you, in a way, envy him? Because as you can see, he can borrow almost unlimited amounts of money without the bond markets freaking out, at least for the time being. And also, he's not constrained by an exchange rate regime. Or do you feel slightly sorry for him because he is facing an extremely large crisis with this coronavirus?
No, I think he's facing a very large crisis, and I feel it's very difficult, and I think he did extremely well. The difference between 92 and now is that in 92 we did have a very large deficit, but we hadn't planned it. It happened as a consequence of where we were. He is planning to increase his deficit as a cyclical measure. So the two situations are really contrasting rather than being similar.
Good. Well, let's hope that Britain and the other countries somehow manage to fight their way out of this crisis. Norman Lamont, Lord Lamont, thank you very much indeed for your reflections on all this, and let's hope for the best. We have to fear the worst and hope for the best, and budget maybe is helping in that regard. Many thanks indeed.